Thank you so much. This is an unusual night, and I won't be before you long. I'm going to try to go through this text. This is actually pericope tonight. It's kind of extended. I tried to see what I can craft and break it up. So bear with me for a few minutes, if you can, if you allow me to read this text. And I normally don't take long parts of text, but I need for you to capture the picture. I'm sure it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but if you allow me to read it, the book of 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. When you found it, stop turning. Now the king of Aram was warring against Israel, and he counseled with the servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down here." The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and take him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." He sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, "At last, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elijah prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. When they came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people with blindness, I pray." So he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elijah. Then Elijah said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he brought them to Samaria. When they had come into Samaria, Elijah said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Then the king of Israel, when he saw them, said to Elijah, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" He answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go into their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master, and the marauding bands of the Arameans did not come again into the land of Israel. Isn't that a good word? Let's try to see a little better. That's actually what this text is actually centering around. Because sometimes the depth of life is sometimes overwhelming. And overwhelming it was for this particular time, because in the midst of this particular time, there was a lot transpiring in the midst of God's people. The battle of Israel and the Arameans was constantly going on. But then God was trying to unfold among them a sense of understanding that if you heed to my ways and be obedient to my ways, that I will protect you. So the people kept on saying that they would do better. And in the midst of doing better, they always end up doing wrong. So God had to send among them a prophet. A prophet constantly after prophet. A miracle constantly after miracles. The miracles was actually for the in-depth of people to understand the heightening level of God's divine order, because God will protect us in the midst of no matter what is happening to us. God will send his protection unto us. So it's not necessarily for the enemy or it's for the one who's seeking God. It's for the purpose of God might take the one who is for God to go seek the enemy. To go seek the enemy must take on a deeper level, because in the life of this world, we all were one time enemies of God. Being enemies of God, God sent people into our particular situations to share with us the word of God. And as God sent people to share with us the word of God absolutely at some times cleaved to our hearts. And we saw the depth and the understanding of what God was doing to us. So here now, Elijah. Taking up the throne after the prophet Elijah, Elijah comes now into a key moment, because now the king's son, Jehoram, had taken over. Ahab's son, the second son of Ahab, Jehoram, had taken over. Now Elijah now is in the midst of this situation. Elijah now had to speak to the king, because sometimes the king had an understanding of being the king, but yet the prophet had the understanding of listening to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the King of Kings and Lord of Lords had prominence over the king. And so sometimes God, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, had to send direction to the king to protect the people. So God was protecting the people, and God was giving heed to the people. But then God begins to do something unusual among the people. He began to take among them the king of Aram. The king of Aram had to step among the throne and begin to understand. And the problem was Ben-Hadad at that time. If you studied, scholars begin to say it was probably Ben-Hadad the second, because in the time in which this scripture was written, Ben-Hadad the first had gone on. Ben means son of, and Hadad means chief god of Aram era. It was a section of that era, and it was almost equivalent to Baal, the fertility god. The battle of the Arameans and the Israelites was constantly going on and on and on. But yet God needed a prophet to come in the midst of the people. Always remember, when there is a prophet, there is a people who are in the midst of disobedience, because the prophet promulgates the word of God and give it to the people. God sends prophets, and prophets, they don't elevate themselves. They often get stoned because they are promulgating the word of God. And when you are trying to stand before people who have a sense of understanding of themselves, sometimes you can't capture hold. And then sometimes people don't understand the words of God. They don't understand the goodness of God, the fairness of God. They don't understand that there's no difference between a Jew and a Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and all who call upon the name of the Lord. They don't understand the equitable distribution of what God has given us needs to be a firm foundation for all. Sometimes they don't understand. Sometimes they want to usurp the authority of what God has given them, and they want to take on the understanding of what they think that they are all about. But then God is calling us to help us see better. The first understanding in the story to help us to see better, God gives us a prophet, my brothers and sisters, who can see beyond us. Because God takes his men and gives them unusual vision. And so how does a person of God get unusual vision? Well, you have to go back to Ezekiel, the third chapter, and you got to learn how to eat the book. You got to digest it. You got to fold it in your internal acts of being. You got to allow it to resonate in your heart and sit in your mind. You got to allow it to penetrate. You got to allow it to sit and meditate day and night so that you can be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water. When the stream comes and gathers the roots, they grow deeper into the word of God. And we have to learn how to go deep in God's word. Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee. So now it comes to a point that Benhadad was so frustrated, because when you heard the early readings, Benhadad was in a quandary of confusion. See, sometimes God will put you in a confusion and let you think you are who you think you are, but yet he's calling you to submit yourself to the power of God. Sometimes God look at us from a state, and this is what he did. He said that the heart of the king of Aram was so enraged because he couldn't understand, because King Benhadad was trying to find him a stronghold. Everywhere he went to try to find somewhere that he can get a piece of land so that he can claim that this is our land. And when he went to that particular place, guess what? Israel was already there. See, that's what happens in the midst of sin in this world. No matter where sin is, the people of God should be. The people of God should be in places to share the goodness of God. And that's what Elijah was teaching us at this particular point. But yet King Benhadad was so enraged at what's going on, he got caught up in the midst of something, and he began to holler and shout out to his people. He said, "Will you, which are one of you, is for the king?" Well, let me tell you something. I respect everybody, but I'm for King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am from the one who created, and I am from the one who made and molded us in the imago Dei and blew into us the ruah, and we became the breath of life. I am from the one who took this clay and made a difference, and yet I am because he calls me to be. The purpose in which we are to see that God is putting us in this place, God gave the prophet Elijah foresight. The prophet had the ability to look in the future because he was with God, and to see the perspective for which God was giving him. Elijah had the foresight to understand that behind the logic of God, the power that he was giving others could put him in danger. But he had an understanding: if I perish, let me perish. I'm going to see the king, because everything that he had within the midst of his bosom, it was for the purpose of God. And the foresight helps us to understand you are able to see far beyond what you can see, because God will never leave us, nor will God forsake us. God will see to us and help us and give us that which we need. And so this is what happened in the text. He says, will you tell his servants? And he said, no, my Lord. O King Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of everything you speak in your bedroom. You know, sometimes when we have anthropomorphic expressions, God has an understanding about everything. You see, there's nowhere the psalm says that we can go to be out of God's sight. If I sin into heaven, thou art there. If I sin into the depths of hell, thou art there, because God is everywhere. God was hooked to Elijah to help understand what was going on. And so whenever Ben-Hadad had an enthusiasm to destroy God's people was already there to set the stage and the foundations and the purpose for what we are here. And so he said, go get him. Go find him. Go find this person. Go look for Elijah. And so he had to understand, Elijah had to connect with Jehoram and tell Jehoram, look, you the king, but you need to go get your troops and go occupy the land, because the king is coming, because when he get there, you need to already be there. Isn't that like in life, my brothers and sisters? There is nothing in life that God's people cannot handle. God uses you to be his legs, his arms, his voice. We are to use his talents for the greater good of humanity, and we are to be able to share the goodness of God no matter where we be, because the foresight of God connects us to the divine providential plan of God, and we're able to see beyond our capacity to overcome that which we are in, and the power and the victory of God carries us, and we don't know that we've been there, but we know that we feel the presence and the power of God. And that's what God did to Elijah. He protected him. But look in here, something is happening in this text. It says, now the attendants in the 15th verse of the man of God had risen early and gone out, and behold, the army and the horses and the chariots were circling the city. In other words, Ben-Hadad had sent the people out, and he sent horses and chariots to circle the city. And isn't it powerful? Guess what? My brothers and sisters, when you understand the power and the victory of God, you will understand that he is a very present help in a time of trouble. Though they were circling him, and then you move towards something that is more easy and powerful for our life, and they were circling him, and then he said, at last, what shall we do? And so Elijah had to step up in the 16th verse, and he answered and said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Well, who are the them? The them are the adversaries. The them are those that needs those who are there that are circling help. Even though they think that we are in trouble, the them is the one who's calling for help, but they don't know how to call for help, because they're in the midst of trouble, trying to submerge us in the midst of the cave. For help and for the strength that God has given us, God is trying to help. We got more than them, because if you understand, he's more than the whole world against us. And God takes care of us, and God protects us. And then Elijah came to a point in his life, and Elijah came and he arrived at the 15th and the 16th verse, and then in the 7th verse, something begins to happen. Let me say to you, my brothers and sisters, and I won't be before you long, you better learn how to pray. You better learn how to fall prostrate on the ground and offer yourself to the power and authority of God and get in deep prayer and get in the type of prayer that you are so immersed in prayer that it's like Aaron's beard, the water is flowing down and it's so deep and so consecrated towards the power and victory of God that God gets all the glory, and then something will happen. The Jews will pray in the morning, the Jews will pray in the evening, the Jews will pray when they go to bed. You got to learn how to pray, and there's power in prayer. And so it says that Elijah prayed and said, "Oh Lord, I pray, open in the midst his eyes that he might see." See, we're surrounded by the chariots. And then when the surrounding evil is around us, we cannot imagine what is happening to us. And in the midst of what is happening to us, he said, "Open the eyes that he might see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. But look, what did he see? He said, "Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah." And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, strike this people with blindness." In other words, Elijah prayed, and every time Elijah prayed, God answered his prayer. What happens when we will submit ourselves to God, that every time we pray, something happened? Every time we can feel the trembling, every time we can begin to put ourselves into positions, because we are God's power and authority to make a difference in this world. And as we make a difference in this world, little did we know and little did they know, Elijah was surrounded by Benadad's people. But guess what? God put some chariots on the mountain with fire. And guess what? God surrounded Benadad. God can take care of anything if you put your trust in God and you envision and see the power of what God is doing for us. And then he says in here, he prayed again, and then he said, "So that he will strike them blind according to the word of Elijah." They ran them down to Dothan, and Dothan is first introduced in Genesis, the 37th chapter. That's when the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob's son, you remember, they had sold their brother Joseph into slavery to the Ishmaelites. And then they came to this point. At this point, God had sent them to Dothan, and Dothan was a place, and the translation of Dothan was called two wells. And with jar we draw water out of the well of salvation, because guess what? The water is the purity that God quenched the thirst, and God transformed our life and give us the victory in the midst of a harmful time. And so God helped them to see better through prayer, and that prayer became the prayer of foresight, and that foresight became the prayer of clear sight, and the clear sight was to help them to understand that they were able to see the predicament that they were in. Because just because you are in trouble, just because you are surrounded, just because things are going on in your life, you are not defeated. My brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you today, when you go through something, the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. And God wants to use you towards a greater meaning of life. And then they put him down to Dothan, but guess what? They ran to Dothan, and Elijah was leading them to Dothan. And so Elijah said, "Strike them blind." And guess what? The one who they was looking for was right there in the midst of them. And guess what? They was blind, but they cannot see. I know many of us have been to our optometrists and ophthalmologists, and you can see all pretty well because you got your eyes adjusted, but sometimes we need our spiritual eyes adjusted. We ought to be able to see the way God will have us to see and to walk the way God will have us to walk. We need to be able to see the power and the victory of God. And so Elijah, what he did, he struck them with blindness, and then what he did, he took them and led them to Samaria, which was the capital of Israel, and he put them in the place where he knew his God was going to take care of everything. And then when he got them into Samaria, he prayed again that the Lord will open their eyes. And when they opened their eyes, they said, "Where are we?" How many of you been struggling and walking in life until you found God? Some people was trying to lead you to places, but when they got you to that place, you were struggling. But then you calmed yourself and said, "Where am I?" You were in the presence and power of God for God to give you that which you needed. So God is helping all of us to see in this text tonight that there is trouble all around us, the Benadads, and so much trouble is coming to us. But then God gives us Elijahs and people who will promulgate the gospel. God gives us Dr. Dilbeck here who will promulgate the gospel to help us to see better and better Sunday after Sunday. But then when you get them in the right place, the old Jehoram, the king, cried out, "What shall we do, Father?" He was talking to Elijah as a means of respect. "Shall we kill them one time? Shall we kill them?" Look at the text. He said it two times. And then he said, "No, we shall not kill them. Would you kill those who have been taken captive with a sword or with a bow? Set some bread up and set before them some water that they may eat and drink and go in to the master." And I'm gonna rest right there, my brothers and sisters, because in our fighting with God, guess what? Life could have killed us, and somebody should have said killed us. But the mercy and grace of God looked beyond all our faults and saw all our needs, and the power and victory of God sustained us. Because when we look in life at foresight and clear sight, God gives us inner sight to say everybody is the enemy. The enemy needs an opportunity to salvation, so don't kill them. Share the words with them and the prevailing words of God, and something can happen in the midst. And what happened in the midst transformed their life. And guess what? The text said, because Israel showed kindness, the Arameans never fought with them again. My brothers and sisters, we ought to show kindness and love as we go out and share the gospel, because there's a lost world out here and they need the prevailing power of God's salvation. Because for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He needs people who are convicted to the foundation, because in Galatians the 6th chapter, you can't give in and you can't give up. Be not weary in doing what is right, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You got to understand that Luke the 4th chapter and the 18th verse says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to claim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And if Luke don't get you, guess what? John Newton should get you. John said he was an infidel. John said, "But by the rich mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, Jesus restored him, Jesus pardoned him, Jesus appointed him to preach the gospel." Then he got somewhere and started writing and came up with the words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. And because God opened our eyes, we can share that sin surround us but didn't keep us. It only put us in a place to yield to the power and authority and the amazing grace of God's care. May God bless you. Eternal God, we thank you for this moment of reflection. We pray, oh God, that this word will penetrate hearts and that people will go and look at this text and decipher this text and get greater meaning from this text to the power and victory of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who not only died, but got up on the third day with all power in his hand.